And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
It's ridiculous that they do. That was a huge colony. Well, we didn't miss it. You know, the typical rah, 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 zip, boom, bah, boo.
You don't cuss. You don't drink. So what are your vices?
I have been known to chew a bit of tobacco when I get a little tired or watching film.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer? Tell them about it, JoJo.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's the championship of life.
Gas control. Everybody just do your job. You understand that?
Welcome in the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy. It's football time.
Yeah, that means this is another edition of our weekly picks. This is going to be our last one of the week, heading into week three action. What are you most excited about heading into the weekend, Shane?
Just football in general. I mean, tons and tons of it, because week one was great. Week two was even better. So I'm really excited to see what week three brings. I think we've got a lot more closer matchups this week. So, I'm really just excited about the teams.
Yeah, and kind of like you noted on the last one, I'm kind of eager to just get past a lot of these cupcake games. There's still a couple left on the schedule, but after this week, it's basically all conference play until the end of the year. So that's probably going to be what I'm most looking forward to. But, of course, we got a couple SEC matchups this weekend, so once that's when it really gets going is once we got these SEC teams facing off against each other.
Yeah, for sure.
And of course the hurricane and all the people affected by the weather are on our minds, and hope everyone's safe. But on that note, Florida, just like we noted Tennessee yesterday, Florida is giving free tickets to people to visit the swamp for Florida's game against Colorado State. Anyone from North Carolina, South Carolina affected by the weather, if you can't make it to Tennessee for a free game, maybe you can make it down, go down south to Gainesville to make the Florida game. So it's nice to see several SEC schools reaching out to anybody that's affected by these storms.
Yeah, for sure. Let me ask you, competition here. If you're just kind of a college football fan in general, which one are you going to? If let's just say they're equal distance.
I think I would probably go to the Florida game, just because we don't know how fragile the Gators are, and Colorado State, I don't think they will, but they may give them a game, whereas UTEP, Tennessee, I don't think that's a very attractive matchup.
I'm like you, brother. The Florida, I mean, because that could actually be a game, in my opinion. I think Colorado State has enough weapons to make this thing entertaining. Mm-hmm. I don't think UTEP does. I think they're ranked the worst in the country, so... Yeah, if I'm equal distance and I'm not a Tennessee homer, then, yeah, I think that's the game I'd go to.
All right, Shane, so not a ton. Oh, there is one thing before we wanted to jump into these games. So Ole Miss hosting Alabama, of course, that's a big game. SEC Nation is in Oxford right now setting up for, you know, all-day event Friday and Saturday broadcasting SEC Nation. And Matt Luke was recently asked, you know, his thoughts on – last year, Alabama was just whooped up on Ole Miss 66-3. It was the most lopsided defeat in the SEC all of last season. So how much does that weigh in on this game? Here's Matt Luke with his thoughts.
Well, I don't think that last year has any bearing on this year, or us beating them 2 years in a row. I don't think that has any bearing on this year. It's their team from 2018 against our team from 2018. So I think that's the way you have to look at it. And I don't think you obviously could draw on the experiences when it comes to you know, the tactical decisions and what they've done on defense and what we've done on offense. So you can draw from that experience. But as far as the players or the scores, I think you got to focus on this year.
All right, Shane, I think this is the only approach and the correct one to take. You know, that's one of my favorite things to say to people on Twitter. Last year is not this year, even no matter how much people want to try to make it out to be. What are your thoughts on hearing those comments?
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, a lot of these teams got a new coach. They got new players. Old players have left. I mean, this is two totally different ball clubs. So there are some instances where – maybe they've got a repeat of last year, but that's very rare. So to look at last year's and to judge this one, I'm not buying it.
All right, Shane. So now let's just get into it. We've got a lot of games to get into. We don't want to drag it out. Our week three picks in the SEC now.
Gambling? Who said anything about gambling? It's not gambling when you know you're going to win.
No, that was my lock. I said to go with Texas A&M. I was right there.
They're going to beat the brakes off Miami. You watch it.
Any chance you think Missouri beats Georgia this year?
Not a chance in hell, man. Not a chance.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
There is one game without a point spread, and that's Murray State at Kentucky. And the games that don't have lines, like we always do, we're just going to give, you know, one thing we're looking for the game. So for Murray State's trip to Kentucky, what's one thing you're looking for, Shane?
Just how much playing time these starters actually get. I think they're more concerned about next week when Mississippi State comes to town than they are this week. So I don't think we're going to see a lot from Snell or Wilson or Bowden, those guys. But I do think that what we do see, I want to see Snell just continue to go. I want him to get at least 100 yards before he gets out of there, because he's kind of, I don't know. I know he's a dark horse for the Heisman, but deep down inside, there's a lot of people rooting for this guy.
Yeah, and for me, Shane, I want to see Terry Wilson. He needs to continue to progress as a passer. He threw multiple interceptions in the opener against Central Michigan. He threw a bad one against Florida. He fumbled against Florida. And, of course, I think he was the X factor in that game. So he was a big reason why they won. He won the Manning Award for quarterback of the week. So he obviously had an outstanding week, but he's still a very up-and-down player, it seems like, at this point. And keep in mind, he's only played two games for Kentucky. So he needs to continue to make strides as a passer. This is a defense that shouldn't test Kentucky. So I want to see that progressing, because he's only got one more of these games before that Mississippi State defense rolls into town. So that's what I'm going to be looking for, is just that progression and getting more in a rhythm with his receivers.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Shane, so let's jump into the games that actually have lines and should be somewhat competitive here. And we're going to start with UTEP at Tennessee. And as I have it on Thursday, Tennessee is a 31-point favorite in this game. Who do you like in it?
The Vols. Well, we talked about this. UTEP's just not that good. And Vols whooped up. I mean, they even said that if ETSU and UTEP were playing each other, UTEP just be favored, I think, by a touchdown. That's just kind of the caliber of team that's coming in here. So I think they cover the spread. A couple of things I'm looking for, though, is something we've been harping on for 2 weeks now, is that offensive line. I want to see the first five start. I want to see them walk off the field when they start putting the backups in. I want to see this offensive line jail. So for my score, I've got the Vols covering 45, UTEP 3.
No, I swear we don't look at each other's scores before we say them, but I don't know if anyone's going to believe me after I say this, but I've actually got Tennessee 45, UTEP 7, so we're about right on there.
Oh, cool.
We both have Tennessee covering, and, you know, just based on all the advanced analytics that I've looked at, UTEP is ranked 130 in the nation out of 130, so this is a terrible team on paper. I didn't scout a whole lot of UTEP because I didn't figure there was much point to do it, but I have seen that they have a couple transfers on their team from Texas and Michigan. That's about all the insight I can give you on UTEP. But the Tennessee, I think, you know, obviously last week defense came up with several big plays, special teams came up with a touchdown, so I really want to see that continue, because if Tennessee is going to make any noise in the SEC, I think it's got to be a combined effort. I think the defense and the offense are both going to have up and down weeks. There may be some games where they don't click at all. So they really need all units to really kind of carry the day. If Tennessee does have everything hitting on cylinders, I think they can upset a couple teams. But I don't know. I don't even know if we're going to see that this year. So really just want to see progression from all sides of ball, in obviously offense, defense, special teams. None of them should be tested, but we'll I guess we'll find out Saturday if that's how it really plays out.
By any chance, have you heard anything from Ty Chandler?
Yeah, according to Jeremy Pruitt, Ty Chandler is going to play in this game.
Okay. I mean, I think the running back situation is good, but, you know, he also has a huge role in special teams, so I kind of like to see him maybe have an opportunity to take some kicks, you know?
Yeah, and for, you know, as much as Tim Jordan and Jeremy Banks have impressed the first 2 weeks, I don't think either one of those guys is going to pull away from anyone necessarily, particularly an SEC defense. So I think you really need Ty Chandler to come in there and give you that home run threat.
For sure.
All right, Shane, let's jump into the next game here. And let's go with Vanderbilt at Notre Dame. Now, the way I have it here on Thursday is Notre Dame as a 14-point favorite. Who do you like in this one?
Well, if you've been keeping up with this show, you know I'm 0-for-2 picking for Vanderbilt. I've picked them to lose both games, and I'm kind of buying in, Mike. and there's a lot of people, and I hate that national. I've seen a lot of national people kind of buying into this game. But there's a few things that really stand out with this Vanderbilt-Notre Dame game. And a couple stats I just want to throw at you real quick.
Mm-hmm.
One is the Commodores have recorded 6 takeaways this year, the 7th most in the football. And, you know, that's an impressive stat, especially going against Winbush, because he has struggled against pressure. CFB Film Rooms, you can follow them on Twitter. They got a lot of cool stuff that they send out. But they talk about Winbush. He's been pressured 52.4% of his dropbacks, and under pressure he's only 10-for-23, so that's like 47% complete rate. And he's got 0 touchdowns, 3 picks, averaging 6.3 yards a attempt. Why is that important? Because Mason is going to be bringing it. There will be a lot of pressure. One thing about this Vanderbilt team is the defense has been impressive, and so is the quarterback. So long as he doesn't, you know, make any big mistakes, he's a seasoned vet. I think he's a senior, if I'm not mistaken.
He is.
That's why I'm predicting Vanderbilt to go in there and upset the Notre Dame Fighting Irish by a score of Vandy 23, Notre Dame 17.
Yikes. Well, good luck with all that.
Interesting. All right, Shane, so you are 0-2 picking Vanderbilt, and you're going to go 0-3 because – I got the Irish winning this one 28-16. We've yet to see Notre Dame on the road this year.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious to see how that plays out. Notre Dame really, you know, they've been playing like ass. They nearly lost to Ball State, I believe it was, last week. So that is troubling. But, you know, obviously they did beat Michigan. So I think they kind of played down to Ball State. And for all the strides Vanderbilt has made, I don't think much of Middle Tennessee or Nevada. Oh, I have been very impressed by Vanderbilt's defense, but I think at home Notre Dame gets this one, but I do like Vanderbilt to cover that 14 points. So a little closer than the spread, but I'll take Notre Dame, and I don't even think this one is going to be that close.
if Vandy does pull off this upset, mm-hmm. Is Shermer going to be a front runner for the Heisman? Just curious.
No.
Okay, I mess with you. I don't know. I'm impressed with everything I've saw from Vanderbilt this year, and I like we've joked about, I picked against them, and damn, they've come out and not just beat these teams, but they've looked good doing it. So I'm really excited about that game.
But one note we forgot to mention: the Georgia game has been moved to a noon game. That was originally scheduled as a night game. So let's go ahead and pick that one. Who do you got? Georgia hosting Middle Tennessee, and the point spread as I have it on Thursday evening is Georgia as a 34-point favorite. Who do you like in this one?
The Blue Raiders, man. I tell you what, MTSU comes to town at what time? 12, you said?
It's a noon game, yes.
Noon game. MTSU is 0-15 against ranked top 25 teams, so I'm going to have to say MTSU is going to be 0-16 after this one. It's not even going to be close. I got MTSU 10, the Georgia Bulldogs 59.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a lot of points. Now, here's something I don't know if you take into consideration, but I do. And keep in mind, when I factor in the weather, I'm usually wrong, so you may want to disregard everything I'm about to say, but...
What if the weatherman predicts it's going to rain just so he can keep people off the golf course and have it for himself? What do you think of that theory?
Obviously, this game's being moved for a reason, and it's because storm's coming through, and I just think it's going to be nasty. I think there's going to be wind and rain, and I think this is going to be a game where Georgia is not necessarily piling on the points. I think it's going to be more about running the ball and running that clock out and just getting out and getting home. So, of course, I got Georgia winning this one, but I don't see them scoring quite that many. I got Georgia 42, Middle Tennessee 14, which would mean I've got Middle Tennessee covering that 34-point spread.
Well, the reason that I'm just slightly disagreeing with you, I think we both realize it's not going to be a ball game. I think, think about Kirby. He talked about it with the Heat last year with South Carolina. The elements is something that he embraces. And I really think that this is more of a game, kind of a tune-up for Fields. I don't think we're going to see a lot of the ones. Initially, I think it will be primarily running, things like that. But I do think they're going to get Fields in there, and they're going to try to work him in with the ones. And to do that, you can't just be handing the ball off all the time. You know, they're going to want to see what they got with him. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think the score is just going to be a little bit higher than what most people do.
Well, that's good and all, but what happens if he goes in there and he's throwing the ball and it's going sideways? You know what I mean? Because 100 mile per hour
wind. No, I get it. I mean, like you said, the weather is a factor, but, I don't know. It's an advantage, too, because at least the offense knows where the wide receiver is going to be, mm-hmm. the defense doesn't. So, you know, when you have weather like this, a lot of people think that the passing goes right out the window. It doesn't. In fact, it sometimes helps the offense because they know exactly where the ball needs to be.
Yeah, that's true. So I guess we'll be agree to disagree there and see how it goes. Now, the next game on the schedule is LSU-Auburn, but I want to save that towards the end. So let's skip that for now and go to the 3 o'clock kick, or 3 o'clock Central Time, SEC Network, Colorado State at Florida. I've got Florida as a 20.5-point favorite. Who do you like in this one?
This one, I think, is going to be close, but I still have Florida winning. I've got Colorado State at 28 and Florida 33. And I think this is kind of – I don't want the score to make you think like this thing's going to come down to the last series, because it's not. I think this is one of those deals that Colorado State kind of did like they did against Arkansas. Mm-hmm. They get down big. Florida shuts them down. Hopefully they give Scarlett the damn ball. I don't know if you noticed his numbers are just – they're horrible, and he's one of the best players on that team. And I think they're going to rely on that running game just because Arkansas did get 300 yards on this team last week. So, but 28-33 is my final score for the Gators.
Well, I think the problem with Scarlett is all those credit cards are wearing him down. Yeah, as far as I know, Felipe Franks is the leading rusher for Florida, and has more rushing attempts. Now, of course, sacks and what have you, that counts as a rushing attempt in college football, but that's an insane stat. I don't know what in the hell they're thinking there, but I don't think this one's going to be close at all. I actually have Florida covering in this game, even though it's a massive spread. I think if Florida has any kind of guts, I think they'll show up for this one, and I really think that Colorado State is not that good. I think they're inflated because of, obviously, the Arkansas win, but that's just how bad I think Arkansas is. So mm-hmm. I got Florida winning this one 38, Colorado State 13. I don't even think this is going to be close. And I think that'll certainly add some drama for next week. And that's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah.
All right. So speaking of Arkansas, they host North Texas. That's mm-hmm. going to be at the same time as this Florida-Colorado State game. So as I have it, I couldn't believe this when I first saw it, but Arkansas is only a 7-point favorite. So who do you got, Arkansas or North Texas?
I've got Arkansas, and the reason that I've got this score so high, I've got Arkansas 41, North Texas 13, and I think we've talked a lot about Arkansas this week. For a 1-1 team, you know, probably the worst team in the SEC, we've talked a lot of Arkansas football this week, and I think that these fourth quarter losses have kind of burnt the coach up a little bit. So I expect them to come out, expect them to win. And I expect them to be throwing to the very last play and come away with this game.
Well, I'm seeing North Texas is a popular upset pick. I've seen a couple people roll with that this week, and I'm not ready to go that far, but I do like North Texas to cover that 7 points, believe it or not. I've got Arkansas winning this one, but it's only going to be 35-31 in my opinion, and I don't know if you know anything about this quarterback from North Texas, but he's a smaller guy. He's a, I believe he's a Native American, and his name is Mason Fine, and he leads the nation in passing yards. Now, keep in mind, he's only played against SMU and another school called Incarnate World, which I believe is a blind school there in Texas.
I'm sorry. Is that real? Is that true?
No.
Oh, I was going to say, I've heard of deaf schools, but blind, I didn't think that could be possible. I think he
threw for like 700 yards on them. So his numbers might be a little inflated, but from what I have heard, he's a good quarterback, and I think he's going to test this Arkansas defensive backfield. I mean, Randy Ramsey is questionable. Chad Moore said he expects him to play the defensive end there, but I don't know. I don't think much of that Colorado State quarterback, and he torched the Razorbacks in the fourth quarter. And, of course, he had Preston Williams helping him out. But I look for Fine to have a big day and keep this one close and keep Razorback fans on the edge of their seat to the very end. And, you know, Chad Morris, he's going to be busy on Friday night. He's not going to be game planning. He's going to be watching his son. So we'll see how that goes.
Golly, man. They could you imagine dropping this game, North Texas? I mean – Can you get on a hot seat this early?
they'll be asking old Bielema to come back. You know what?
Borderline erotic. I mean, it's really, really cool.
Yeah, just coach one more year. So,
all right. So a lot of people have a lot of anticipation over this game. Not so much me, but Alabama, number one in the nation, travels to Ole Miss, and I've got the point spread at 21 points. So Alabama's a 3-touchdown favorite. Who do you like in this one, Shane?
Oh, without a doubt, Alabama.
Roll Tide!
I love Ole Miss. Don't get me wrong. I love their offense. But the fact that they don't have a defense is what scares me, because Alabama is putting up a ton of points. Didn't you say last week it was the first time in 100 years they scored 50 points in the first two games or something?
1925. So, yeah, almost 100 years.
And they came out and did it. Well, they're going to have three.
Roll Tide!
I mean, this thing is going to get ugly, and it's going to get ugly fast. And that's why I've got Bama winning 55 over Ole Miss at 33.
Well, we were really close again. So I've got Alabama 58, Ole Miss 35. So we were right on there, but... Yeah, I mean, I think the world of Jordan Tamu and these receivers, and I think that's why I'm giving them 35, which it may even be too much. But Alabama 58, I think, you know, Alabama's going to be able to do whatever they want to this defense. They throw on them, they can run on them, they can go ground and pound. They can do whatever they want, and I don't think they're going to be able to stop them. I think this is going to be just a huge game. Now, of course, it is Tua's first road game. So I don't know. We'll see how that goes. But unless he throws a bunch of interceptions, I don't see how this one's going to be that close.
I don't know if you've – I kind of drifted over to the Ole Miss Reddit page the other day. Mm-hmm. And they've got this thing. It's called hashtag Alabama Respect Week. Yeah. So they're just trying to say nice things about Alabama, but they're very sarcastic when they say it. Mm-hmm. And one of the favorite things I saw was Alabama has the second best Hawaiian quarterback in the SEC. So it's – we're going to see a lot of gunslinging on this game, and I don't know. I do think it's going to be exciting, but just as soon as Ole Miss makes a couple of mistakes, Alabama's not going to. They're just going to – Alabama probably won't even have to punt this game, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's punt to the next game then. So Louisville –
I see what you did.
It's Louisiana, who I always thought was called Louisiana Lafayette, but apparently they've dropped the Lafayette, so they're already down an L. But at Mississippi State, I've got it at Mississippi State as a 33-point favorite. Who do you like in this one?
Yeah, Mississippi State, I got them 51 over L.A. Raging Cajuns at 16.
So not even close there.
No.
Even though Lafayette is undefeated, you mentioned that before we jumped on here. You were pretty excited when you discovered that stat. But, yeah, I gotta agree with you. I'm not going to go quite that high, but I got Mississippi State 48, Louisiana 7. And, you know, as we referenced, this is the final tune-up game for the Bulldogs heading into SEC play. They really need to get this thing going. They need to get it going with Nick Fitzgerald, because that's just the missing piece right now. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's not as if he was terrible. I just think he was basically average in that last game, and they destroyed Kansas State. So if they can get him going, I mean, this is the game to fine-tune it before this Kentucky game. So I expect Mississippi State to just destroy this Louisiana team, and I don't think the first team offense will score for Louisiana.
No. But I always had a soft spot for the old Raging Cajuns. I love their names, and back in the day playing college football, that's always the team I picked because they were in the South. And so there is a sweet spot there for them, but they're not going to have a snowball's chance in hell this week.
Yeah, you just made me think real quick. I think we did have a dynasty. You were the Raging Cajuns, and I was Louisiana Monroe.
That's right, man. It was, we kicked LSU out. They were the third best team in that state.
And speaking of UL Monroe, they travel to Texas A&M this week. Mm-hmm. That game, as I have it, is a 27-point spread. Who do you got in this A&M Louisiana Monroe game?
You said 27?
Correct.
I got Monroe covering the spread on this one, actually. Of course, not winning. I got A&M 40 and Monroe 24.
Yeah, I've actually got something similar, and I think that's so I'll just go ahead and give you my score. My score is Texas A&M 35, Louisiana Monroe 10. And, you know, one thing I really want to see, I don't care how good Jimbo Fisher is at coaching up this roster, but it's still a young roster, and they really put mm-hmm. their guts and their hearts on the line, and they came up just short. So I think there's naturally going to be some letdown factor. You know, mm-hmm. like I said, I don't think Monroe is – they may even be able to keep it close for about a quarter, but I don't think it's going to be that close at all in the end. But 27, that's nearly four touchdowns. I like Monroe with that many points. I just think it's going to be very hard for A&M to rebound and play their A game after coming off that tough Clemson loss. And that's not to say that A&M is going to have a poor game by any means, but – I just think they'll be a little bit off. I would imagine that practice would just, you know, is just not quite the same. It's just not the same anticipation. I don't think the crowd will be near as hype, obviously. So I think once they get out there, it'll be the emotion will come down a little bit. And I think that plays into the final score there for me.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, don't forget the UL Monroe, they're also undefeated coming in this game. So, just a little. They beat Southern Miss last week. So
they have a better record than A&M then, because A&M has lost a game.
Exactly.
All right, one of the night games here, Missouri at Purdue. And I was pretty surprised by this line when it came out. I think you actually nailed this one. But Missouri is only a six-point favorite at Purdue, and Purdue's 0-2. Who do you like in this one?
You know, this is one of those games I've been kind of picking Purdue to win every week. And the more that I've watched Locke and the more that I've seen what Purdue can produce on the field, I am going the opposite way. So I got Missouri winning 30, Purdue 20.
Interesting. I was recently on Mizzou podcast. They had me on. It's called the Mizzou Cast.
I did listen.
They wanted me on because I picked Wyoming to beat Missouri, so they wanted to make fun of me for about 10 minutes, and I obliged. Anytime you make a bold pick like that, you gotta own up and face the music there, and I was happy to do it. But I was curious there was a lack of confidence from that podcast about their chances with this Purdue team, which I thought was odd. Of course, Purdue did whoop up on Missouri. It was 35-3 last year. But I don't know. I just think this is a different Missouri team the more I've watched them. That was a different Purdue team, obviously. And I don't think it's going to be near that lopsided. But I'm taking Missouri to score big. And I actually think Purdue will score quite a bit. But I got Missouri 42, Purdue 30. So I like Missouri to win and cover, just like you. But, I'm just kind of – this is one on my radar because those guys were just kind of so nervous about it. So – That was just very interesting to me.
Yeah, I thought so too. And in the same thing, they were talking about them not getting respect. You know, that when they see two teams, they choose the one they've heard of the most. I think they were talking about LSU or something like that, and they weren't comparing themselves to LSU. But you're going against Purdue. They're 0-2. Brohm doesn't look his boys don't look great this year, and as compared to last year. So just like we were talking about the opening of this podcast, you can't compare what happened last year to this year. You know, Missouri looks really good. Drew Locke has been lights out this year. So build on it. I think if they buy in, they could make a run, and they're going to have to because this schedule after this week gets a lot tougher, a lot quick.
All right, Shane, let's get in the big game, the 60 minutes of war.
It's going to be 60 minutes. It's going to be an all-out battle.
Yeah.
LSU at Auburn. I've got it as Auburn. They're a much bigger favorite than I thought. Auburn at 10.5 right now. Who do you like in this game at Auburn? LSU at Auburn. Who you got?
Go Tigers. I've got an upset, man. I don't know. I don't know if I'm just – I've just – become too much of a fan of LSU lately, but I've got them winning against Auburn 27-20.
Damn it. Like I said, we do not discuss these heading in, and I was hoping I was going to throw you a curveball there because all week I've been going with Auburn. I thought that's the safe pick for sure. No one's picking LSU. You're the first person I've heard say that. And it didn't honestly surprise me because your love of Coach O, but I'm right there with you. I'm going LSU 26, Auburn 24, and I'm not as high as everybody else is on Auburn heading into the year. I was not thoroughly impressed with their performance against Washington. They did look good for sure. I'm not trying to diminish them, but I have been saying this for a while. They do have an outstanding defensive line. I'm not trying to discredit Stidham. I think he's great, but there's a lot of question marks on this roster, and I think people tend to get caught up in what happened last year. And just like we just touched on with Matt Luke, last year, this year, it's two completely different things. It's very hard for people to comprehend this. I don't know why. It's not that hard for me. I keep saying it, but I really believe that LSU's defense is better. I think defense travels on the road. I think it's a little bit different than offense. We still have not seen what Joe Burrow can do. His stats are not great, but it seems like the team has bought into him. All his former teammates have bought into him. Even the damn guy on Auburn who played with him in Ohio State's bought in on him. So there's something about this guy. I don't think he's going to be phased about going into Auburn. And I just don't think Auburn has this. Everyone's looking at him as like a top, six or seven team, and they're not quite there. I think they're more, I'm not trying to totally bash them. I think they're more of a 15-20 ranked. That's about where they should be. And I think LSU is right there too. So it's a very close game, but I think LSU's got the edge in special teams, and they got the edge in defense in my mind. And Auburn may have a little bit better offense, but 2 out of 3 units, and I'm still not sold on Gus Malzahn all the way, so I don't know. This is always just kind of a screwy game, and I also think that people in college football, and I understand why they do it, but I think far too often they just pick the home team because they just, for whatever reason, they just think it's insurmountable for a road team to win. But we just saw Georgia beat the hell out of South Carolina, so it does happen quite a bit. So I'm sticking too, with LSU.
The thing about the Auburn, you know, they came out week one and it looked sloppy. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of penalties. I think it seems like there was a flag every time they had the ball. Mm-hmm. And then last week I was reading up on them. They had five fumbles, you know. So here you got a team that should be humming by week three, and they've looked sloppy the first 2 weeks. And LSU, total opposite. I don't think they've even had a turnover, and, you know, they love getting turnovers. I think it said they had five forced turnovers the first two games. So that's kind of why I think Auburn's got a great defense. I know LSU's got a great defense. Is that Auburn line going to gel? Are they going to be able to control that front? And I don't think so. I think Stenham's going to be on the run. I think he's going to be he's going to be forcing balls, and I think that's what's going to get him in trouble. So that's just kind of why I went that route, because you know Coach O's going to be dialing some blitzes up this week.
All right, Shane. So before we jump off here, we did want to try out something a little bit new. Just wanted to get your thoughts on this. We want to do a little look ahead to week four after we just predicted week three, and just kind of the big headlines that'll be, you know, everyone going to be talking about on Sunday after these games get played. So what do you predict the headlines are?
I think one of the biggest headlines that we're going to see is LSU is legit. Obviously, I've picked them to win this week just like you did. And this is a team that spent a lot of time in media on the offseason about crumbling, Coach O on the hot seat. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be a total flip. And people are starting to embrace Coach O down there in LSU. So I think that's going to be the biggest headline, because that is the biggest game. And if LSU does pull this off, a lot of people are going to look at it like an upset. So I think that's going to be one of the main topics in the headlines. What about you?
I'm saying Drew Locke's Heisman campaign. I think they're trying to make it a Heisman campaign. I don't think it is at this point, because they've not beaten anyone worth anything. They're hosting Georgia. If he wants to make a serious run at this thing, I don't even think they have to beat Georgia. Obviously, that would help. But if he has an outstanding showing, just like we saw with Kellen Mond, and Texas A&M still lost, and you know we all came away more impressed than anyone thought with Kellen Mond. I think Drew Locke has to show me something against this Georgia team. He's getting them at home. This is going to be their biggest competition in the East, potentially, if Missouri wants to make a run up those charts. And with South Carolina taking a beating, and they obviously had their game against Marshall canceled, so they'll be this kind of a cold team. Missouri, here's their chance to show something. Here's Drew Locke's chance to prove all the doubters wrong. Derek Dooley to show what he's been working with there since he got there. So I think that's going to be the biggest storyline in the SEC East.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. How about this one? If Dan goes up to Tennessee and loses, does he potentially lose his job?
You were just trying to get this guy fired 6 months off the job.
I know, man. Well, the only reason I say that is because of this game. If Florida doesn't come out and put all naysayers to rest, if they let Colorado State hang in this thing, which I think they potentially could do, there's still going to be a lot of uneasiness down there, especially with that fan base. And if they come to Knoxville and drop that game, there is going to be people wanting to put them on the hot seat. And that's crazy talk, in my opinion. You know, the coach is coming in, doesn't have his recruits yet. It's still way too early, in my opinion. But the pulse down there, they are just so damn mad at this coach.
It's too early, but every other podcast, I'm trying to put him on the hot seat. You know, here's the reality. Now, Tennessee fans, you may want to put on the earmuffs right here, but I don't think Florida even looks at Tennessee as a rivalry. So, I don't think they give a shit if they lose this game. to them, it's Georgia, it's Florida State. Those are the games, LSU, those are the games that Florida fans really want to win. So, you know, Tennessee fans would love to win this Florida game for sure, but I don't think it's going to be an end-all, be-all for Florida fans. I think you're looking ahead to Mississippi State on the schedule, LSU on the schedule, Georgia, Florida State. Those are the games they need to see something. And if they lose all those games, yeah, then there's going to be questions about him. And if you want to throw in Tennessee too, but I don't know. I just think it's way too early for this kind of talk. And, you know, it was just one bad showing. The bandwagon was in full force when they beat Charleston Southern. Mm-hmm. They won big. They lost to Kentucky. Now they're low. They went from the highest to highest to the lowest to lows. I think that's why there's such all this talk about it, and just the fact that it was Kentucky that beat them. But like I said, I think Colorado State's going to get their ass kicked, and Florida's going to come out big. And I think that'll soothe a lot of this talk. And I don't think there'll be any wanting to pull the plug even if they do lose to Tennessee.
I got you. Dude, I hope Kentucky next week's, you know, just talking. I hope they, of course, close this game out, Mississippi, and then they face next week. It's going to be exciting. And if so, I think Kentucky deserves a top 25. I'm still, you know, waiting for that to happen. This should be a top 25 matchup next week.
Yeah, I don't think it will be, just for the simple fact that I don't think Kentucky is going to garner much respect for beating Murray State. Now, maybe if there are a few upsets in the top 25, maybe they do get a look. I'm with you there. I think they've kind of earned that respect. Of course, I had respect for them before most people, so I gave them my number 3 slot in the SEC East. So, but that'll be a big topic for sure. Mississippi State at Kentucky, looking ahead to Week 4. I think this is the game that I still would favor Mississippi State, of course, to win it, but whoever wins this game, I think they legitimize themselves as a true contender in the West, and whichever the champion, the winner of this one, essentially will be, you know, getting Kentucky could be at 2-0, which would be huge in the SEC East. So that's going to be a big game for sure.
Let me ask you one last question. In 3 years, Stone Cold Cash Daniel will be in the WWE or the NFL?
He'll be wherever he wants, man. But WWE, that seems just about right for him. But, hey, I'm rooting for him. Whatever he wants to do, I think he should go out and do it. And I'm a believer in that guy for sure.
For sure, man. Well, that's all I got. We're going to do – we'll probably do a quick recap Saturday evening. If all goes well, right?
Yeah, just like we did last week. For those of you that caught that one, we're just trying to catch you up and on all the action of the SEC on Saturday, and just give immediate reactions going into all that. And you know, those are a little bit shorter. We'll have a regular one soon after, but I think those are a fun little podcast just to get our immediate thoughts on everything that just went down.
Absolutely. And don't forget, jump on our Reddit page. You can search on Reddit's app, That SEC Podcast. And, of course, we appreciate everybody taking their time to if you made it this far, you're on iTunes, please give us a 5-star review. It really does help us out quite a bit. And on Reddit, we're going to start fielding more questions from you guys. So a little bit more of the mailbag, get you guys online.
Yeah, and for anyone out there that listens that is an Android user, we're now on Google Play, so that's another way you can find us. Maybe you want to give this podcast to someone, but they don't have an iPhone. Hook them up with it's the same thing, That SEC Podcast on Google Play. So now all Android devices should be able to play this podcast as well.
Perfect.
All right, Chan, I'll catch you on the next one, and thanks everyone for tuning in. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, buddy. Go Vols.